Lecture topic, investing in our children.
Our greatest investment, our children. The Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says, Mata ibn Adam, in qata'a amaduhu illa min thalath. When a person is looking into an investment, he wants to see the investment that generates bigger profits and longer lasting. Not something that will finish off in short term. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when the person, insan, passes away, everything stops. All his actions, nothing else, nothing continues. But three things carry on. Illa min sadaqatin jariyatin, sadaqai jariya, the various different forms of sadaqai jariya which we are familiar with. And ilmin yuntafa'u bihi, the knowledge, the benefit of which continues. So a person in some way or the other passed on the knowledge of deen, whether it was through teaching, whether through facilitating it, in whichever way. And that knowledge now is still being beneficial to somebody. So he's gone in his qabr and he will continue to reap the reward of it. And the third aspect mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, which is relevant to our discussion right now, أَوَّلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُونَ. Or that pious child who continues making dua to those parents. After they got to their qabr, but the children haven't forgotten them and haven't become engrossed in what the parents left behind, but rather they are also concerned about sending ahead for the parents and by means of their righteousness, by means of the good deeds that they will do. So on the one side, it is the children that become the investments, but the Hadith Sharif says, Waladin Salihin, righteous children, pious children, upright children. So the investment that is a long-lasting investment, other investments will get left behind and others will be enjoying it. So no harm in what is within the limits of Sharia, but this is the real investment. But investments of dunya, there's a lot of effort behind it, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of mental energy and application of the mind that is involved in it. All that goes into trying to make that business work, make that investment grow. People sometimes spend sleepless nights over trying to make it happen. So that zeal that is there for the worldly investments, more greater than that, the zeal should be for this real investment. This is investment that's going to continue for us after we gone. So mashallah, this zeal, the issue is we are living in a very fast changing world. Types of changes that previously used to happen in decades are now happening maybe in years, in let alone years, in months. What used to happen in decades is happening in months. In this fast changing world, we have to fast change how we deal with things also. And that lackadaisical approach, things will carry on, life will carry on, we still engrossed in our entertainment and just everything's carrying on. That approach will have to change. That approach should never have been there to start off with. But more than at any other time, now is the time to change that approach. The forces of batil, they are planning not 10 years in advance, they've got a 50-year plan, a 100-year plan. They have got a vision. Vision is obviously, the primary vision is to try and destroy Islam and the Muslims. Allah is the protector of his deen. Allahu mutimmu nurihi walau kariha al-kafirun. Allah will make deen prevail. But whether we are becoming part of that, which that effort that will make deen prevail or not, that's now up to us. Allah is the protector of his deen. Deen will prevail. But whether we'll become part of that machinery that will become used by Allah, Allah will grant the tawfiq to help his deen, or whether we'll be sitting on the side as spectators, or Allah forbid we'll be gone somewhere else. That depends on what vision we have. Vision for ourselves, our children, our generations to come. Those who really served the Ummah, they had a vision of uplifting the Ummah. And because of this vision of uplifting the Ummah, whatever they did for their worldly needs, necessities. But they had an overarching vision. And that wasn't for themselves alone. In the Quran Sharif, and in every rakat of every salah, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's all about إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. And the we, the entire ummah, we worship you alone, and we seek your assistance. Guide us to the straight path. Every rakat we have been taught about this being one ummah. So our vision should not just be confined to, yes, we will apply our efforts and whatever our energies are to the extent required to earn our halal rizq, to do whatever the other necessary things of life are. But our vision has to be very broad. And the vision is not for ourselves alone. We've been taught to be an ummah. And the vision is to uplift the ummah. So that's the vision must grow in our children as well. Many times a child is growing up because parents have now repeatedly put it in the child's heart and mind, you are going to grow up to be a doctor. Now his vision is, I'm a doctor. Now he's already now playing around with instruments, now he's busy treating somebody, he's coming and wants to check his father's heart also with that toy stethoscope, whatever, because he's already got a vision of being a doctor. But does he have a vision that he's an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Does he have a vision that I have to serve the ummah? Yes, I'll serve the ummah as a doctor, no problem. If I want to become a doctor, I'll serve the ummah as a doctor. That vision, unfortunately, we haven't brought alive. That we should have a vision. Now, therefore, our children are also caught up in playing computer games. Physically also, they far away from anything. And spiritually, even further away. Whereas, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram, there are these ahadis also, the training sessions that used to take place. Whether it was in the form of just racing one another, or whether it was archery, but it was a kind of competition, but just to, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once joined one group, he said, I'm with this group. So the other group held back, he said, but if you're with them, how can we ever be part of this? We'll never win. He said, okay, I'm with both parties. So this to spur it on. So the point was that all this but was for what? Just as a game and finished off? Never. This was a broader vision. Now that vision is what we have to bring alive. So in our children also, many times that vision is very confined. I got my father's business to fall into now. Time comes, I'll just put into the equation somewhere. And maybe, okay, I'm studying maybe accounting. Why? Because I have to run my father's business. So that's where it finished off. End of the story. But this, beyond that, who am I? What I am part of this? What am I doing in this world to start off with? Where's my destination? And therefore, what I should be doing? And whatever deen we have alive in our country is because somebody came before they had a vision. And especially our forefathers that came from India, etc., their vision was to protect deen for the generations to come. So though they were in real bread and butter issues, they didn't have it easy like we have it. But they established masjid, they established madrasa, they brought people all the way down to just come and teach their children because there was nobody available. Because deen had to be kept alive. Not for now, for generations to come. We are plucking the fruit of their efforts. But now what are we going to do for the generations to come? Is it just for ourselves? We did something, we had a comfortable life. No, our vision has to be far beyond that. For ourselves, for our children, for our generations to come. So all these things might seem very, very sort of just something informal or formal, whatever it might be, or some little activity, we might call it somewhere. Obviously, many of the things that we were shown now in the demonstration, if anybody asks me or asks anyone of us probably, that can you repeat one of those things, none of us remembers anything. It won't really register in just seeing something one time, and that too just seeing as a spectator. It's meant to nevertheless bring alive a spirit. That we need to learn something. We need to learn something physically also. We need to learn something in terms of our own for our protection, to teach our children what's going on. But then beyond that, there are greater goals in life. To mentally and physically prepare ourselves and our children to come, our children and generations to come, for the greater goals in life. And then together with all this, all these strengths can only be effective on the foundation of the strength of Ruhaniyat. Mu'mineen, that is our Iman. Anything will only be effective if it is on the foundation of Ruhaniyat, our connection with Allah. So, that is the fuel that will drive anything forward further. So now we want to see something come of our children. وَلَدِ الصَّالِحِينَ يَدْعُوا لَا. We want to leave behind those pious offspring who will become true assets for us, and not just for us, but the entire ummah. Not just confined to our little four walls, but who will become assets for the ummah at large. So this vision of being an ummah, that must come alive in them as well. So for that, this ruhaniyat, bringing ruhaniyat alive, that is of the most fundamental importance. Otherwise, as it comes in the Hadith Sharif, where one sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that yeah, sometimes a person is fighting, somebody is fighting riyaan, somebody is fighting hamiyatan, somebody is fighting on something. He's fighting because now this is my family, my clan. Come what may, I have to defend. Right, wrong, doesn't matter. Somebody, I have to show my bravery. Somebody, something else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that will be of no use. مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The person whose objective and motive is purely Allah. Allah's deen must be above everything. So in other words, sincerity, his niyat. Niyat is all about ruhaniyat. If the person doesn't have his connection with Allah Ta'ala, he'll have all corrupted intentions for the best of actions. He'll do wonderful actions, but with corrupted intentions. So now that ruhaniyat, building ruhaniyat is the crucial factor. So side by side, everything else will continue. But sometimes we forget about the foundation on which the house stands. Otherwise, maybe the example would be that we're busy building up the entire, that aircraft that can fly and can do so many things, but we forgot about where we get the fuel for it. The fuel somehow is just not available anywhere. It's going to be grounded. The fuel in it is a spirit of deen, it's a ruhaniyat. So this is the very crucial part. Then together with this, that ruhaniyat, when that ruhaniyat is there, and to build it up to start off with also, is our connection with Allah Ta'ala. One most important aspect in that regard is dua. Now we've come here, we gathered here as fathers. The question for myself, all of us, how much dua we make for our children? How often? How intensely? Many people come sometimes, oh, please make dua. Man. Why? Got an appointment with SARS. And he said, you know what, oh, this is such a big pressure and so on. If nothing else happened out of this, at least one good came out. I never ever made tahajjud in my whole life. This has never made tahajjud. So SARS got him to make tahajjud. But how many times he decided, oh, I tried so many things, tried to explain to my children, whatever, make tahajjud and then go out. For SARS, he made tahajjud. To keep SARS away. Not for them. Keep them away. But to keep the attacks of nafs and shaitan away from his son, from his daughter, from his children, for that he didn't make that difficult. What the point is, dua. How much of dua we should be making? Just on this note of dua, one great personality, many of us might have heard his name many times, maybe not, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali. Now, anybody who does the Alim course, So one kitab that they will do right at the beginning, right in the first year probably, will be Qasasun Nabiyyin. Now he's the author of this kitab, and then do it more again, further parts of it in subsequent years, and then the other books of his that are part of the syllabus in madaris throughout the world. In so many madaris, so in other words, what the point I'm trying to get at is, every alim that graduates, the thousands wherever throughout the world, he's got a share in everybody's ilm and the work that they will do. Now when he was still a very young boy, he was a yatim. His father passed away when he was barely 3 years old. Now he was still very young, living in, out of the center, so his mother sent him, despite his young age, to now the center to go and study deen. While he was busy there, he now decided side by side to learn English. Now he's sitting in India of that time. He decided to learn some English on the side. So his mother got to know about it. Everything has its place. We're talking about a specific point in here. So now she somehow got to know back home that now he started doing something on the side as well. Some sideline they call it. So she wrote to him. Now he's still a young boy that time, perhaps about 11, 12 years old, whatever age might have been. That I got to know that you are busy doing the sideline. He says, my hope was that if I had 100 sons, I would dedicate every one of them for deen. That they should serve Allah's deen. But I only have you, I got nobody else. So please, you dedicate your time fully. I want that you do nothing else but dedicate yourself for deen. That's my dua. Allah knows best what dua she made. She didn't have 100 sons, but he did the work of more than 1,000 alims. That the work he then did, was up to this day, that benefit of it is so widespread that we can't quantify it. But now it was his mother's dua behind it. That she was sitting quietly somewhere, son was somewhere else, but the powerhouse of dua was came on. And that mother's dua, what further it might have been worth, that she only had one son who became weightier than thousands. Now the question again for us is, how much dua we do? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Quran Kareem, Allah has mentioned so many du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Allah save me, save my progeny from idol worship. How many times we make dua for the safety of the iman of our children? رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي ذَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ He's making dua. Ibrahim is making dua. Allah, my children must establish salah. How many times you make dua? Allah, make my children muqeem is salah. Rabbi ja'alni muqeem is salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. And then to make them assets for the ummah. Make them muttaqeen, make them people of truth, taqwa, people with the quality of ihsan, people who are connected to Allah Ta'ala. And make them assets for the ummah at large. People who have a vision for the ummah, not confined to themselves. Now dua, we have such an effective aspect of that best as well, beyond all the weapons of the world. But how often do we use it? Yes, we have to use it in the correct procedure, together with the procedures that have been taught to us. Time is limited, we don't get into any detail of that. But learn to make dua. And make it part and parcel of our life. Dua for our children. Many times, we've complained more about our children than we've done it. Many a times it has happened. The number of times we've complained about them is far more than the times we've done for them. So now we have to change this. So have this for our own children and this broad vision for the ummah. But now, how are we going to, where are we going to channel this and how are we going to learn it to start off with? This requires association with the ulama ikram, with the mashayikh, to learn this ruhaniyat, connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, because the kind of examples we will become for our offspring and for our generation, that's what they will follow. What kind of vision we have, they'll take on from us. What kind of spirit and zeal we have inculcated in our lives, and we have brought that vision and that spirit and zeal alive in our homes, they'll take it along from there. And if the only talk around Chadha Sarkhan is about figures and numbers and how to turn the figures more and more, that's going to be the dreams they're going to have. That's going to be what they're going to dream about. So we have to make them dream what's real dreams. Yes, it starts off with a dream. This vision is all a dream, but the right dreams. The dream to be connected to Allah Ta'ala, to become the true servant of Allah Ta'ala. The dream to become a true asset to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And the dream to how to become somebody who will become a benefit to mankind in general. These are the dreams. But now, then there's a process. Now a person has a dream, then he goes, he has a dream to be a doctor, he goes the right place to learn. He doesn't go to the farm because he wants to become a doctor. So likewise, a person has a dream, I want to become Allah's. So then he will go to the Allah Wala's. And from the people who have the love of Allah in their heart, associate with them, be in their company, learn from them, and then learn the spirit of this being an ummah, and develop this vision. Inshallah, this will become a means of our goodness. We are, as mentioned, sitting here because of some people's vision. And on the basis of that, we are plucking the fruit. We have our own challenges. Allah knows best what challenges are going to still come. If we have very, very limited dreams of ourselves and just how we can expand our own empires and so on, Allah forbid what will happen to the generations to come. We have to think ahead for our own safety, for the safety of the generations to come, and for Allah's deen, Allah will look after. But it will be our good fortune that we become part of that. Allah Ta'ala accept us all. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we become the true servants of Allah Ta'ala in every sense of the word, and our children also become the coolness of our eyes and an asset for us and an asset for the entire ummah.